All right, I think we're working now. Good morning again. Glad to see everybody here. I've kind of worked this week. It's one of those that I get things stuck in my head, and I just can't get rid of it. Unfortunately, sometimes it's not one of those that I can really sit down and say, go A, B, C. So, because I don't want to preach a lesson that you've heard some of you in 60 years worth. I try to take and put a little bit of a spin on it, not changing God's word by any means. I never want to do that. If anybody thinks I am, please come tell me. Say, hey, you're veering over here. So I don't want to do that. But I do want to take and try and make it where you have something that you need to think about. I want you to take and look at something a little bit different. And I don't know why, but this week I got it stuck in my head. I've heard it several times. I've even said it. God is my co-pilot. It's a very enduring thing, and it sounds great. But if you look in the Bible, there are several things that God has called, which, I mean, at the time, no, there wouldn't be a co-pilot because there wasn't planes, of course. But if you look at it, like Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. So we see he's the creator. He is eternal because he was here before the world was. God created everything. So he is a creator. He is eternal. And then David spoke in the, make sure I'm right on my words here. Yeah, David spoke these words in a psalm to the Lord, and it comes out of 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3. And this is right before the Lord was getting ready to save him from David from his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. So we see that God is all. I mean, that's easy to point to look at. He is my all in all. But, I mean, he is always number one, is what we see in the Bible. In Psalms 23 and 1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. But to go back to my original thinking here, the definition of a co-pilot is a qualified pilot who assists or relieves the pilot, but is not in command. So should God ever be our co-pilot? I mean, if you think about it, it sounds good. I mean, I've said it, and I mean it in an enduring way. The thought is right that God is with me, and that's what I want. But I don't want to take and have God as my co-pilot. I want God to take and be in control. Because I found one picture and I was going to put it up and I didn't have it done. But a car that had God as my co-pilot. It should be in a salvage yard somewhere. It's got four different colored doors. They're dinged up. The front quarter panels are beat to pieces. The back window is duct taped in. So God was not the co-pilot. God was acting as a co-pilot because God wasn't in control. But in our lives, we want God to be in control of our lives, spiritually, physically. We want to look at God and say, I'm yours. No matter what, you want to take and have God to be in control of your life. And I got thinking about it, and I've been kind of looking at it all week. But when God doesn't speak to us as he did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he spoke with Moses face to face, or directly. He spoke to the prophets as in dreams, and he actually told them, this is what I want you to do. But in today's life, we don't have that, unfortunately. I mean, I wish God would take and come down and say, Jim, this is what I want you to do today. Because it would make it so much easier if God was telling us, all right, I want you to take and I want you to go to this house at this time And this is going to make a difference in that person's life. But unfortunately, we don't have that today. But what we do have is, if we look at God in a different way, not as our co-pilot, but as our navigator. And the definition of a navigator is a person or device that plans the course. And God can be our navigator. And no, he's not going to come up and he's not going to take and say, Kurt, all right, go out here and take a left. I want you to go to this house, talk to these people. But we do have a roadmap that he has sent to us. And that roadmap is right here. The Bible, his word. We can look at that. We have examples of what to do, what not to do. We also can take and we can kind of learn. It's not going to give us a specific on how to remove a splinter out of your hand or something like that, but it will tell us, this is what you need to do to be a Christian. This is what you need to do to be a better person, to improve someone's life. And as we do look back, I mean, it is something that God wants us to do. He wants us to take and be a better person. He wants us to take and be that person, that example in somebody else's life. I want to be an example to somebody as a shining light that they take and see and say, I want to take and figure out what he's got. Why is he so happy? Why is he the person that I want, that seems like he's never down? And we all should want that. And not because I want to be that person. I want to be that person, but not for me. I want to be that person for God. I want God to get the glory in everything that I do. I want God to get the glory no matter what. I know that I mess up, and God knows that I mess up. God made us, and he knows that we're going to have times that we're struggling. But we need somebody that we can look to also to take and bring us back. We always need to remember that if we take and follow God's example, follow his roadmap, that we can take and find that eternal place in heaven. Because that's what this is guiding us to. We have the Bible. We have his words that's in the Bible. We know that they're real. We know that God gave them to us. They're God-breathed. And with those, we can take and actually take and follow that roadmap with God in control, knowing that we're going to take and get to heaven. We can be sure of that. That's the one thing sometimes that you start wondering. I know I do. What about when I did this and when I was 25? What about when I did this? But then when you look back in the Bible, it tells you God forgot that. Once you take and came to God, once you took and became baptized, your past is your past. And we shouldn't care about my past. Okay, I shouldn't say. I shouldn't care about my past. But we shouldn't care about our past as a whole. We should take and remember that, yes, we screwed up. And God knows that. And I'm going to screw up tomorrow. It's human nature. But we just need to remember that no matter what, that if we put God first in our life, and that we always take and remember to come back to him and take and say, Lord, forgive me for what I don't know that I did. Sometimes we do something wrong and we don't even realize we did it. We may remember something 6 months from now. I wish I'd have said that, because that would have made all the difference in the world in how somebody would have took something. Instead of taking it wrong, they would have took it right. Not meaning to upset somebody, you may upset somebody. But we just need to remember that we are human, that we are going to fall from time to time. We're going to have struggles. But God is there for us. And if we rely on God, then we will take and have that opportunity to be up in heaven with him, that we will have the glory for the rest of our lives that we can't explain. So much, whatever we feel here on earth is nothing compared to the elation that we're going to have once we get in heaven with God and with Jesus and all the saints, and to be there
just praising God. Whether we sleep, whether we don't sleep, it's not going to matter. You're not going to get tired if you don't sleep. Because once you're in heaven with God, it's not going to matter. Nothing's going to matter. What I did in 5 minutes from now is not going to matter. What's going to matter is that we are right there, just in that glory, in that light of God and His awesomeness, being there, and just, I can't explain it. Like I said, words cannot explain what the glory that we have awaiting us in heaven, as long as we take and follow His commandments. And to go back to what I said, keep Him as our navigator. Realize that He has planned out. I have no idea. I don't want to go back on years, but thousands of years ago, He went back and He had it planned out how He wanted us to live. He knows 1,000 years ago what we were going to do, that we were going to mess up, and that's why He gave us Jesus, and that's why He gave us the Bible, His roadmap, that we can take, and if we study it, we follow it, and do what He asks us to do, that we're going to get to heaven, that we're going to get to an unbelievable place that is so happy that words cannot describe it. I wish I could, but then if I did that, then I would know what's coming. And we all know that we don't know what's coming. We just know that God has told us that we will have the glory, or that we will be up in heaven with Him if we follow His word. And that it's something that we cannot describe. I mean, we are given examples in the Bible that the roads will be pure gold, which pure gold is clear. There's going to be crystals on every door. So everything that's beautiful in this earth is what we were given as a description, but that's just for us to try and wrap our minds around how beautiful heaven is. And we need to remember that that is what we need to be striving for, is to be there in heaven with Him, to enjoy the glory and His love, which is unending, because He did take and He came, gave us a way there, and He took and made it clear that He sent Jesus to take all of our sins upon Him so that we don't have to take and worry about it. Because if we try to work, as we were talking in class this morning, if we try to work to the point of being His or to get our way into heaven, we're going to fall short. We don't, no matter what we do, we cannot ever work hard enough to be in heaven. But His grace is sufficient. His grace will take and get us there as long as we come to Him and follow Him. So that's kind of my making you think this morning. I hope it does make you think. I hope that it will give you encouragement for the week. I know that the more I do it, the more I look back and read the Bible, the more encouraged that I get. I'm not one that's going, I might eventually get there where I can actually take and start quoting scripture and Acts 2:4 or what. I mean, I can come up with certain ones, but I'm not great at quoting scripture, but I do. I can remember a lot of God's word, and I know what He wants for us. And that's my hope, is that you will take and always strive to follow God, always strive to follow His word, and to be His children. Because He wants His children back. He wants His children to be with us, be with Him in heaven for eternity. Just like we want our children to be happy, God wants His children to be happy, which is us. So at this time, if anyone has any